time in our lives, the less spiritual a thing is, the more important it becomes to us. And the more spiritual it is, the less commonality we have with it. And therefore, we become confused in what is needful and what is not. Because the question is here, what is the one thing that is most needful out of everything that's going on in that room? What is more important than the Word of God? And what is said here, that Mary in action could have stopped and thought about for a moment. What is more important? Me serving food? Me serving drinks? Me servicing them? Or hearing the word? What is more important? It's a choice that each of us have to make for ourselves. Now, look. Here. Now let's look at verse 40 because I want to show you something. Verse 40 says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now look what she just asked Jesus. She said, Jesus, tell Mary to stop hearing the word and help me serve. That's what a lot of us do in our lives. We go to folks when they're trying to consecrate themselves in God. And we say, help me do something natural. Well, I know you're trying to do something spiritual, but stop that right now and help me do this. And we come up with a reason to make it seem comfortable or make it seem right. Because when Martha came up to Jesus, she didn't just say, tell Mary to help me. She said, I'm all by myself. I'm serving all by myself. She left me. She the reason I'm serving all by myself. But that wasn't true. Mary wasn't the reason she was serving all by herself. She was serving all by herself because she chose to keep serving when Mary chose to start hearing. And she was trying to blame Mary for what she was doing when it wasn't Mary's fault. And we do that all the time, don't we? We try to blame everybody else for what we do wrong instead of accepting all of it by ourselves. If don't nobody come to this church but me and Sister Harbor, we still gonna have church. And whatever we have to do, I won't be able to stand before the Lord and say, well, we didn't have church because it wasn't nobody but me and my wife. Because I didn't just come to have church with the saints. I also came, number one, the one thing, the most important thing, I came to have church with the Lord. And whether anybody's there or not, I'm still going to have church with the Lord because I'm not going to stand before God and try to blame somebody else for what I knew I shouldn't have did. We got that bad. Mary has a bad case of this. She's trying to blame her sister for wanting to receive a word from the Lord. Hey, Lord, stop her. Stop her, Lord. She need to be doing what I'm doing. Most of the time, a lot of times we see somebody, they getting into the Lord. You see they getting into the Lord. And you going to try to, here you come, trying to come up with something to stop them from, leave them, let them, Jesus, leave them alone. Let them get close to God. I know they ain't got no money. And I know they don't want to do something all the time. But this time, here they come. This time, that's all that matter. Right now, they want to do something. Let the Lord, I wish I had a witness. Let the Lord. I wish I had somebody that was accountable. Let the Lord. I wish I knew somebody that heard the word. Let the Lord. I wish somebody didn't think they was God, but let the word be heard. Martha. A lot of us, male and female, are caught up in that figure of image in our minds. We so busy looking at others, and we blaming others for our shortcomings. But it's nobody's fault but our own. I know when I told that lie, I didn't have to tell that lie. I know it was a bill collector on the phone, but I still didn't have to lie. The bill collector didn't make me lie. I chose to lie. I can't blame the bill collector. I wish I had somebody in here that know what I'm talking about, that got bills and don't want to talk to the bill collector, because every now and then, Bishop find himself on his knees for repenting to God, because I tell the bill collector, he's not here, and he answered the phone. I wish I had somebody that, I wish I had somebody. See, Mary wasn't seeing Martha. Mary was seeing Mary. And see, Martha was seeing Mary. But I wish that we would just speak truthful like Mary. Mary said, that's all right. When you look at the text, at any given moment, there could have been a discussion of a changing of words. But Mary didn't care about what Martha said. Now, let me stop for a moment. Let me slow down for a moment. Now, you don't think in your feeble mind that Mary didn't hear what Martha said when she was sitting right there at the feet of Jesus? Yes, she did. But the only thing was on her mind was to hear a word from God. I just wish there are more people that wanted to hear a word from God. Could have been a big fight. But can you imagine if that happened right here? And you were doing something to people, any given two. And I, as the shepherd, I begin to talk in a conversation. And the one person stopped that was helping the other and stopped and started listening. The same thing that Martha done would be the same thing that some of us would have done. Instead of stopping and getting apart like Mary did, Mary said, forget that. Forget. I don't care if it is lamb night, baby. I need some. What you say? Jesus, can you imagine? She had the tray in her hand. May I use your folder for a minute, brother preacher? She had the folder in her hand and she serving. And Jesus said something. She's like, what do you think? Thank you. But Jesus kept on going. He said, okay. What? Man! Say something, oh Lord. And say, what am I saying? Sometime being in the will of God causes us to do things that causes us to not to seem like we're in the will of the Lord. But sometimes God wants us to stop doing and start hearing. Now what happened here with Martha is that Martha was still not satisfied. But what was happening to Mary, Mary was steadily being filled over and over again. Now the difference between Mary and Martha was that Martha was hindered. Martha, listen at this, let the spiritual thing that Mary was doing hinder her when it should have provoked her to do the same. Sometime in the house of God, because I'm not doing right now what I normally do. I know you think you know how things ought to go. I know I'm not going as we call in order. But
is evidence that we're running. Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening.
We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Listen to what this next verse says. After you have suffered a little while. See, sometimes it takes a little while to get that care off of you. Sometimes it don't go the first time you cast it. Sometimes it takes a little while of you casting that because the devil will bring it back to you. Come back in your thought life. You got to say, nope, I ain't going to think about that. I'm not going to worry about it. I gave it to the Lord. I'm trusting God with that. So that after a little while you keep doing that, the devil can't take it. After a little while, he wear out. After you suffered a little while, the God of all grace, there it is right there, who imparts all blessing and favor. So what happens when you endure the temptation of it? He begins to impart the grace and the favor that you need to stand. And the blessing comes on you. That means God's able to work miracles in your life. Amen? Who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus will himself, listen to this, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. In other words, when you really don't cast that care, there's a peace that comes down in your spirit that calls you to just settle down. Tell your neighbor, say, settle down. See, some people are all upset. They just frantic inside. Just can't wait till church be over. Just on the inside, sitting there like this. When are you going to stop preaching? They got the care of the preacher on them. Some people are all anxious about how long the service is going to last. How long this is going to be? On the inside. We should stop all that talking up there. Get on with the scripture. God ain't give you but three or four of them. All on the inside, all anxiety, all about even about the church service. How long they going to sing this morning? See, care can come to you in all kind of ways. Wonder how long to pray. I hope they don't sing them three or four times. You know, when we say sing it again, I know some people cringe on the inside. Oh, there they go again. Sing it again. I wish they'd shut up. We through with the singing. Won't just let them get up there and sing and sit down. Then after that, he got to preach a mini sermon. After they done sung. About the song they sung, he preaching about it. See, care can slip up on you. You don't even know you all tied up in knots. Can't even enjoy the presence of God. Worried about the time. We're going to be late getting to that restaurant today. If you can see in the spirit how people are really doing on the inside. See, but I feel it. I can hear your thoughts sometimes. The Lord, he let me hear what people are thinking. I can hear it. I can hear it in the spirit. I know when people are receiving and I know when they're not receiving. Most of the time. So I'm just saying, settle down. If you'll come to church every Sunday, say, look, we're going to be there about 4. You get out at 1 o'clock, 12:30, you'll be like, glory to God.
See, it's all in how you look at it. Why come to church all full of anxiety about the service? I ain't going over this morning. It's going to be too long today. I ain't follow that long service today. You stay at home. Why? Take care of it. See, it's just in something so little as that the devil can tie you up and cause you the whole time God trying to get a blessing to you, trying to get a miracle to you. You ain't heard nothing I said. You got to give those cares to the Lord. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. I just go line by line. All right, verse 4. What do you say? Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. And again, I say what? So I start rejoicing. I just do a little rejoice for a few minutes. Start rejoicing, thanking God for his goodness, his mercy. And then I say, Lord, I got a care, a concern. I'm giving it to you right now. I don't know what to do about this thing. It's bigger than me, but you don't want me to carry it. You told me to be anxious for nothing. So I am doing what you said for me to do right now. I'm doing it. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm making a conscious decision right now that I'm not going to worry about this problem anymore from this moment forward. I'm committing it to you just like you told me to do in the word. And Lord, this is how I would like it to turn out, according to your will. And if the Lord give me some scriptures, I'll quote those scriptures to him. If I don't have a script, I say, Lord, just work it out in your will. Let your will be done. Making my request. Now, Lord, I just thank you for a favorable outcome. Now I'm just going to thank you. From every time the devil reminds me about that, I'm going to give you thanksgiving and praise. I'm going to thank you that you're handling the situation. Amen. And so after I've made my request known to him and I've got over into thanksgiving that God done took care of this problem because I gave it to him. He said he would. He said he cares about me. I remind him all of you. You said you care about me. Now show me. Glory to God. I'm looking for a demonstration right now. I'm walking in obedience doing what you told me to do. I'm expecting you to do what you said you're going to do. Amen. And then I say, now, Lord, I've done what the scripture commanded me to do. I expect the peace of God to come upon me now and to build a fort around me, a fortress that will guard my heart and my mind. I thank you for peace. Then I start thanking him for peace. Yeah. Glory to God. Say, I thank God for peace. Yeah, see, he said the peace of God would come and keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Then the next verse says, now, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever be of good report, whatever be of good praise, think on these things. Now I focus my mind that I'm only going to think on the word of God, because the word of God is all of those things. All I'm going to think on now is the goodness of God. Now, when I do that, I'm going to tell you the care taken care of. I can expect supernatural manifestations in my life, because it's going to happen. I've done it too many times to tell you that it don't work. It works. Let me tell you, it works because that's the way I apply the scripture to my life, line by line. When you do it that way, say, Lord, I'm doing now. If I'm doing something wrong, show me. Sure, the Holy Ghost is going to show you if you ain't doing something right. He's there to lead, guide us, and teach us, to show us. Amen. I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. Then I can tell you what happened. When you get over into Thanksgiving, I'm going to tell you the Lord start reminding you of your inheritance. You start declaring who you are in Christ. You start declaring what God's provided for you. You start prophesying over your own situation. That spirit of prophecy will come on you. And you'll start prophesying to those demons. You'll start prophesying to that trouble. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you got the peace in your soul and in your spirit, then you know you're not worried anymore. See, the scripture says that God will fill you with all joy and peace, that your faith may rest in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God will, in believing, he'll fill you with joy and peace in believing. In other words, when you really believe from your heart, there's going to be a deposit, a manifestation of peace and joy in your spirit. People that are worried and all bound out with worry don't have no joy. Right? You forfeit joy when you decide to hold on to the care. Then you can't have the full measure of joy. You can't walk in peace if you're going to worry. They're opposite of one another. Peace means you're trusting. Hallelujah. Then I gave you Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Glory to God. He'll sustain you. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, let's look at what Jesus had to say about that. We heard what the Apostle Paul had to say. We heard what David had to say about it. Now, let's look at what Jesus had to say about it. Turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Tell your neighbor, say, my worrying day is over. Now, y'all get this today. Let there be a deposit come in your spirit today that you're not going to worry no more. I mean, you got to mix faith with this word. You know, you can laugh at what I'm telling you and all of that, but it ain't going to do you no good unless you make a decision that your worrying day is over. How many of you believe your broke day is over? Then you need to call an end to your worrying days. All right, look at what Jesus said. Look at verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of what? So he told you, he said, look, you're going to have some trouble come hit your life. I can't tell you that you can live a life immune from care. I'm not going to tell you that cares won't come to you and that worries and concerns won't come. I'm just telling you that when they come, there's a biblical prescription on how to handle them. And if you handle it the way the Bible tells you to handle them, then you're going to have the results that the Bible said are ours. Right? How many of you ever took medicine for a specific thing? All right? You couldn't take that medicine for something else that it wasn't designed to fix, right? But how many of you take your medicine with confidence? Amen. Yeah, you do. You know that the doctor told me take this four times a day, and you put the clock on the counter. You be following them doctor's instructions. If it say 6 hours, all right, I took it at 8 o'clock this morning. When I need to take that next one, 2 o'clock. Remind me when it's 2 o'clock. Don't let me forget to take my medicine. They give you these antibodies. Take it 7 days. You don't stop at 5. Why? You start feeling good after 2 days. But that doctor say, you're not going to get the full effect unless you take it all 7. So guess what? We down all of them. And if somebody misses a day, you know what they say. You know what they say. Before you take them all, you that sickness still in you. You better take all that medicine. See, we're following them instructions. God give us some instruction here and we say, well, I'll just do 2 or 3 of them. I did 2 or 3 of them. That Thanksgiving part ain't that important. I'll leave that out. All right, that's part of the ingredient. That's part of the medicine. You got to take all of it. If you want it to work, you can't do 2 or 3 things out of 5 and then say, I wonder why what God told me to do ain't working. What'd you say, Randy? Randy said you didn't take the full measure. Now, if Randy can get this, and writing his note, he said everybody else ought to be able to get it. He just said it right there. Then he writing it down. Take the full measure. Go ahead on, Randy. Now, I like the next part. He said what? Be of good cheer. You got to maintain a joyful spirit. But you won't maintain a joyful spirit if you don't cast the care. See, the care will keep all the good things from happening. God wants you to have peace and joy. He wants you to be of good cheer. None of that's going to be released in your life unless you do the other part. Right? Oh, yeah, you got to do the whole thing. You can't pick and choose which scriptures you're going to act on. You got to take the whole medicine. All right, look at what he says right here. He says, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Undaunted, that means don't be so easily upset. Undaunted means you take a blow, but you keep walking. It means I'm not discouraged, I'm not going to stop. If I said I'm going to make it to that door right there, I might have everything trying to stop me from getting that door, but I'm undaunted by it. That means I'm keeping my focus on the door. I'm going to make it to the door. He said, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. See, Jesus had already took care of it. Amen? All right, now let's look at another one. Turn back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse 27. See, this is the key right here. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. In other words, the peace of God belongs to you. Jesus has given it to us as an inheritance. I can have the peace of God and walk in it. Everybody say, I've got the peace of God. Yeah, why? Why do you have it? Why you got the peace of God? Because he gave it to you. Now, anytime you find it, he said, I give you this, it's yours. All you got to do is step up to the plate and take it. See, I go to this scripture here. I say, Lord, you said your peace you give to me. I receive it. See, I get all them peace scriptures together. When I'm over there in Philippians chapter 4, I pull all them peace scriptures together. Say, now, Lord, you said that you give me your peace, so I receive, believe I receive it. I got it right now. Now, I might still not know what to do, but you know what? I believe I got the peace of God. And if I believe I receive when I pray, then I'll have it. Amen. Y'all know what the scripture says? What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. An everyday translation is this. Believe you got it, and you'll get it. See, you got to believe you got something. So I might not feel peace, but I believe I got it. And Jesus said, if I believe I got it, then I'm going to have it. That means somewhere, I might not even recognize the time it happened. But I'm going to look around and all of a sudden discover that I ain't worried about that no more. I got peace in my spirit. When did God give that to me? I don't know. I don't know when it came, but it came. I just wish I could tell you all the times God's given me and Pastor Cece tremendous peace. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. All right, now listen to this here. Look at what he says here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop, listen to this. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what Jesus just said? He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Now, whose responsibility is that? Mine. But he done showed us, he used the Apostle Paul and others in the Bible to show us how to not let your heart be troubled. If you don't cast your cares, you're going to have a troubled heart. Your heart going to be troubled. Martha, we read that last week in Luke chapter 10, how Martha, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and careful about many things. She had a lot of things that troubled her heart. And Jesus said, only one thing is necessary. It's one thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that good part, and it's not going to be taken from her. In other words, what did Mary do? She made a decision to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word, not just for the sake of hearing, but she was listening with the intent, I'm going to do everything that Jesus is saying. I'm going to obey everything he tells me. I'm going to listen to him. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I bet you Mary shut down then. Because she was complaining. Can't you tell Mary to come over here and help me? Don't you see how busy I am serving y'all? I bet her head was just a gun. You see how she done left me to serve all alone. See, she got these cares. She carrying these cares like it's a badge. Like it's some crown or something. Like Jesus is going to say, Mary, don't you see Martha serving? Get up, girl, and help her. Quit being so lazy. Jesus said, I'm sorry, Martha. You got too many troubles. Your heart's troubled. You're troubled about too many things. You need to do just what Mary's doing. That's what he told her indirectly. You need to do just what she's doing. You need to sit down and listen. I bet she wasn't serving then. Oh, that's why I love Jesus. He just tell you like it is. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Things come against your life, sometimes they might give you a blow at first. Might unsettle you a little bit. You might even cry a little bit. But you know you got to get your composure. And you got to know you're in the fight of faith. And you got to get back in there and say, now, wait a minute. I didn't like the news I heard, but God done told me how to deal with it, and I'm going to follow his orders. I'm going to take the instructions. He knows about this better than I do. I'm going to give this care, this anxiety to him. Hallelujah. I just look at one more time, Jesus said it. He said, don't be troubled. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what am I going